we don't have to make laws and put laws and statutes on the book to punish people for the wrong that they do. God has already put these laws in place in the Bible. And guess what? He said his word would never pass away. He said heaven and earth might pass away, but his word will never pass away. We know that when presidents leave office, other presidents can come in and they can take everything that they put on the books. They can erase it and take it off. But when God puts something in his word, it'll never pass away. So we need to pay attention to what God is saying. Because what God is saying, it's eternal laws already permanently on the books. You know?
This is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man, the teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to commence at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. My brothers and sisters, this is a true example of giving inspired by love and by joy. I think it's important for us to take a look at this because there are some interesting things that I want us to lift up out of these verses that we've read in your hearing. The verse 2 tells us about the incredible giving performance of the churches of Macedonia and how as they were believers, everybody say believers. Now this didn't come from church members. This came from believers. And it says that they were motivated by difficulty and delight to give extra in their giving and a spirit of liberality. Now, some things I want to break down to you, because one of the things that I know about the Word of God is The word is designed to help us to illuminate our understanding so that we might, first understand the principles, then practice the principles, thirdly, then profit from the principles. And so when we keep that in mind and in the context of understanding this word today, I believe it'll revolutionize the way you give, and the way you give is more important than what you give. And hear me well, because I want you to understand this is the word of God, and God in this word is celebrating the Macedonian believers by how they gave. And it wasn't, listen at this, the big and sumptuous gifts. It wasn't the gifts out of abundance. It wasn't the gifts that they had stacked and stored away for a special time. But you're going to recognize that there were some things that happened in the lives of the Macedonians. And in spite of those things, their desire, because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, was to bless the brothers and sisters of the faith back in Jerusalem, who had gone through some things, and they themselves was just coming out of some things that they had gone through, and yet it sparked the greatest giving experience that Paul speaks about in the New Testament age. Now, what's going to be most important and probably mind-boggling to many of us is the fact that when they gave, wasn't the best time to give. When they gave, it wasn't out of surplus. When they gave, it wasn't what they again had stacked and stored away. And I want us to walk through that, because look again at verse 2. I just want to launch here. It says, how that in great trial of affliction, listen to this. Now, great trial of affliction produced their deep poverty. That's what you've got to realize. You know, there's a common saying that we have today when it says, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And this is one of the realities of the Macedonian believers. It was tough for them, because what you understand is they had just been ravished by war, and their resources were depleted, and they were not operating on a normal operation of either resources or in terms of what they had as a reserve. And so they literally utilized everything they had. That meant the stocks were gone. It meant the bank accounts were gone. It meant the money under the mattress was gone. It meant that little stash they had put away was gone. It literally meant, when it said deep poverty, it literally paints the picture that they were living day by day. And they were living on the grace of God. Now, again, remember, war has just ravished their country. Many folk were out of work. Many folk were doing what they could do to make things work and to make the situation livable as best they could. So they were not in a pretty place as it related to them in the natural occurrence of life. And so understanding that, that made the first focus of difficulty more difficult, because of what they had to do just for themselves to get by. And usually when a person is in self-preservation mode, they very seldom have the time or the inclination to think about somebody else. But difficulties in the lives of believers can produce a different performance. And that's one of the things that I want us to look at, because first thing the Bible says, they face two great difficulties: pain and poverty. The first one is pain, because again, the pain of having lost so many wonderful things that were near and dear to them, loved ones who were caught up and killed in battle, property, possessions, and all of those things, in addition to the natural pain that came as a result of the ravages of war. They experienced pain on a heightened level. And one of the things, my brothers and sisters, you deal with is the reality that pain comes to everybody. Right, wrong, up, down, strong, weak, rich, poor, black, white, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. We all will experience pain. But it just seems like pain is multiplied when you have deep poverty. See, when you have deep poverty and pain, You really don't have an escape. You can have pain, but if you got a little money. Yeah, I wish I had some people that had a little money. You can comfort yourself in escapes. You can do certain things. You can get away from it all. You can resolve yourself to reside in the comfort of your surround. It's different things you can do to kind of soften the blow of pain when you've got a little money. But when you've got pain and deep poverty, not just poverty, but deep poverty, which means you ain't got no reserve. You ain't got no backup. Ain't nobody got your back because everybody's watching their back. There's nothing that you have to fall back on. And so it literally means that you're living by the skin of your teeth, as it were. And so pain was heightened by the reality that they did not have a buffer through the way of prosperity. They had deep poverty, which meant some were homeless. Deep poverty, which means some were sharing homes with family and friends. Deep poverty. It meant that the little bit they did have, they didn't have enough to hold for later because somebody was in a place where they needed that little bit. And so where portions were platter-sized, now they're saucer-sized. Deep poverty. I wish I had somebody could understand the picture that they are in when this poverty and pain produces something that does not make sense to the natural mind. It's one of the reasons why Paul highlights and spotlights the Macedonians, because while they were going through all they were going through, they were thinking about their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And here's one of the things, if you read this, and depending on the translation you have, it'll be a little clearer, that Paul says they did all of this, and nobody asked them to. See, that's it right there. You just missed it. I said they did all of this, and nobody asked them to. Why? Because they were not in a place where anyone was really expecting them to, under the situation themselves that they themselves were found in. And so listen at this. Sometimes you need to realize that where there is a will, there is a way. You don't have to have anything. But if you want to do something, God says he'll give seed if you want to sow. Listen at this. He'll give you seed if you want to sow. He ain't say he'll give seed to the shopper for sale and to spend and the snack in the store. He said he'll give seed to these people wanted to sow. And listen to this. They needed something themselves. But here's a revelation for many of you. What they had could not meet in their hands their need. So since what they had in their hands couldn't meet their needs, they sowed it as a seed for somebody else. Now listen to this, because I want you to understand some things, my brothers and sisters. This is a faith walk. Now, the situation's already bad. They're already in pain. They're suffering deep poverty. They ain't got a whole lot, but they see the little that they have doesn't really meet their needs. But there are some brothers and sisters going through something in Jerusalem, and they collectively together pull their pennies together, their little resources together, and they beg Paul to take the gift and give it to others. Now, my brothers and sisters, what this says to me is that there is no excuse, especially to many of us, not to give the way God wants us to give. See, many of us are not in a painful situation where we've lost people in our lives and possessions in our lives and things that have caused great pain in our lives on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And yet many of us will not put God first as a priority in our giving. Here's one of the problems that we miss when we don't do it the right way. That Malachi 3 Verse 11 says that God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, here's what you got to understand, that you will not have God doing what God desires to do and putting the devil in his place. Yes, he's got to allow you to have some trials and some tribulations, because as you know from the study of Word, those things are designed to develop you. Those things are designed to refine you. Those things are designed to mature you. Those things are designed to lift you to higher places. So yeah, God's going to allow some of those things. But do you know every day the devil has to present a list of attacks, temptations, trials, and tribulations that he wants to bring against you that day? Jesus checks the list out. And he takes his marker and he goes through this and he goes through that and he goes through this and he goes through that. And devil might have had 100 things on his list, and the devil break it down sometime to just one thing, because that one thing is all you could handle that day. And some days when you're strong and you prayed and you've read your scriptures for the day and you're all together and you're all in that place of spiritual maturity, it may be thing after thing after thing after thing he allows to hit your life, and you're wondering, Lord, why? Because you can handle it. Because you've grown and you've matured and you've developed to that point where the devil thinks that he can take you out, and God says, no, you can't. And Jesus certifies that he can't take you out, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And plus, Jesus said, I have prayed for you. And because he's prayed for us, he's also provided for us what is necessary for us to be successful. And so the only pain that hits our lives is the pain we can handle. Tell your neighbor, when pain hits your life, you can handle it. See, so you don't know, somebody might be going through pain right now. Encourage them. Tell them, when pain hits your life, you can handle it. Listen at this. Because you have pre-authorized pain. Somebody ain't getting what I'm saying today. In other words, whatever pain has hit your life, is hitting your life, is scheduled to hit your life, it's been pre-authorized. And it will not be more than you can bear. See, when you begin to know this and the Word of God begins to strengthen you, man, when you're going through your stuff and you're like, you know, having this pity party, feeling down, and the flesh is just wanting to give up and throw the hands up and all that, you need to smack yourself. Say, wait a minute, come on, get yourself together. This pain is pre-authorized. God knows I can handle this pain. And I want to show God and the devil that he knows what he's talking about. And you know this, listen at this, that when you walk through the pain knowing that this too shall pass, you stop focusing on the pain and more on the purpose. Why did God allow this to happen? Why am I going through this? What am I going to because of this? And so the pain lessens when you take your focus off the pain and put it on the purpose. And so now, when they take their minds off the pain, they see that they have another problem, and it's deep poverty. But listen to this. They don't let deep poverty get them down. Because they do what believers ought to do. They communicate with one another and they say, listen, this is what I've got. How much do you have? Let's put our little bit together. And our little bit together is much bigger and better than our little bit by itself. But see, the problem with too many of us is we want all the credit by ourselves. So we don't want to community share. We don't want to put ours in a pot with nobody else, because then people won't know how much I gave. And you gave 15 cents and I gave $35. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be mixed together with somebody who put their 2 cents and somebody who put their $3 and somebody, and it's going to be a big old thing together, but nobody will know I gave the most.
So I ain't gonna put mine in with everybody. I want to hold mine off so I can show somebody this is what I did. You're missing the purpose. Purpose isn't about you. It's about the purpose. And when the grand scheme of things was revealed to them, listen at this, it's because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me share with you, because the word is very clear. The Bible makes this clear. Again, look at what verse 4 says. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints in Jerusalem. And this they did, not as we hoped, but listen, first gave their own selves to the Lord. Listen at this now. And unto us by the will of God. Do you see, when you give yourself to the Lord first, He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to give. He'll show you how to work it out. Listen, you might not have anything you can put your hands on, but if you desire to be yielded by God's word, His will, and His way, He will lead you to the place where you have, if you desire to sow. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then He says to us by the will of God. Yeah. See, all you got to really do is say, Lord, I surrender me to You. All that I am, all that I have, all that I can do, I yield to You. Because I want to share something with you. Sometimes what you can do is greater than what you have. Somebody didn't get that. Your talents, your skills, your gifts, your abilities, many times may be greater than your money. And you're sitting on the greatest gift you can give because you have not recognized how valuable it is. But when you give yourself first to God, then God will direct you by His will as to what will be a blessing to the one you're trying to bless. And so, my brothers and sisters, what we've got to understand and what we've got to realize is how God wants us to truly give. When we get ready to give, before we write our check, before we go in our pocket and pull out our wallet or our billfold, we ought to say, God, I surrender me and my money to You. See, that's too much like faith and holiness there. No, God, I got a budget, and I ain't got but $20 up in this budget for You for the month. So that's $5 for this Sundays, $5 for next. If I happen to give 10, that's coming out the budget. Two Sundays are going to be missing. Yeah, God's in your business. Listen. When you put God on a budget, and ain't nothing wrong with budgeting, but you need to make Him the master of your budget. Because our problem is we really don't know where to invest at. How many times have you spent too much for something? Come on, talk to me, somebody. And listen at this. Because you wouldn't submit to God, and perhaps because you didn't pay your tithes and you didn't give your offerings right, God lets you go on and spend too much. And then a day or so later, or driving by another place, He'll let you see you could have saved 50%. Yeah, you pass by there and you see the little money, pack of money, two eyes on it. Sometimes it seems like somebody's, come on, don't act like you don't know it. Your money sitting there. Because you didn't know how to say God. Because listen, when you give to God, God gives you a wisdom and God gives you an insight. And God, listen, God will have some folk call you up. Child, you know they got a sale. Yeah. Or give you information or let you turn on the TV at the right time and catch something that you have need of and get a blessing on it. You can't ever go broke giving to God. You can't ever go broke giving to those whom the Lord leads you to bless. Now, God doesn't lead you to bless everybody. Let's be real about that. But those, listen, He said, and to us by the will of God. And so then you become wise enough to know that your giving has got to be according to the will of God, not just feelings and emotions. Everybody has needs. But God didn't call you to meet them. Some of them might be in your family, but he ain't called you to meet them. Some of them may be your friends, but he didn't call you to meet them. And so when you are given to God first, then the will of God will be given to you so you can do it, be a blessing, and then be blessed. Even when you ain't got no money in your pocket. That's why I keep telling people, don't take money to tithe. It takes faith. Doesn't really take money to give. It takes faith to give. Because when you really truly want to be a blessing, God will make the money multiply and magnify, and it will bring it into manifestation for you to do what you wanted to do with it. God gives you what he gives you for the purpose of his own will. So I want you to look at this, because again, it was their deep poverty that they dealt with. But I also want you to see that in spite of that, they had a delight. Not just difficulty, but they had delight. Look again at verse 2 again, what the scripture says. The abundance of their joy. Listen again. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy came before, and their deep poverty abounded unto riches of their liberality. Now, God took a difficult situation that was difficult by way of war, by way of loss, by way of circumstances, and by way of pain, and he used that as a formula to get them to look beyond themselves and at their brothers and sisters who needed it or desired to be what God wanted them to be, and they wanted to be a blessing to help them to be or to become what God wanted them to be. So they chose to sow their seed that did not meet their need, and they did it with an abundance of great joy. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. They did it with great joy. Do you want somebody to give you something with an attitude? I mean, even if you are down and out, do you want somebody to say, here? I mean, you need your rent paid. You need your lights paid. You need gas in your car. You need food. You need all those things. But do you want somebody to give it to you in a condescending way? You know, because some folks still got some pride, and they'd be like, you know what? I need it. But I don't need it like this. Here, you take this back. Some people, like, they'll take it and cuss you out under their breath. You dirty so-and-so. You, I'm going to spend it, though. I don't know why y'all laughing. I might be talking about you, but I'm just saying. You know, that's how some folk are, you know. And the bottom line is how you give and what you give speaks more about you than the recipient you give. And then what you don't understand is Luke 6:38 say it's coming back that way. Amen. Multiply. So when you give it with that attitude, you're going to get it back. With that attitude, multiply. And you're like, where all this coming from? I help folk, but how do you help them? What is your motivation? Do you give from the joy of being in right relationship with God? Listen, these folk ain't had nothing to shout about but the Jesus on the inside of them.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord.